Lou Reed died yesterday at the age of 71. The singer, guitarist, and principal songwriter for the Velvet Underground in the 1960s had a liver transplant back in May and died of liver-related disease, according to his literary agent. WNYC's John Schaefer, host of Soundcheck and New Sounds, was a fan who worked with Reed on a number of occasions, and he joins us now. Welcome, John.
Hi, Soterios.
So you wrote in your homage to Lou Reed on our website that of all the rock musicians associated with New York, he was the one who reflected the city's dark corners and shadowy subcultures in his songs.
Right. I mean, if you think of what New York sounded like in song at the time that Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground were coming up in the 60s, you know, you had Petula Clark singing Downtown, forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. Lou Reed's downtown was a seedy, seamy place full of drug addicts and transvestites and all kinds of behavior that was normally swept under the rug. And the amazing thing about his songwriting was that it was almost like reporting. There was no couching these things in metaphor or poetic imagery. He was absolutely clear what he was. This is a song about heroin addiction. This is a song about S&M. I'm Waiting for the Man is almost a blow-by-blow description of Lou Reed going up to Harlem to score drugs.
$6 in my hand, up to Lexington, 125, feel sick and dirty, more dead than alive. John, you also say that it was easy to become a Lou Reed fan, but it was hard to stay one. What do you mean by that?
Well, he was, let's say, a challenging personality, both as a person in interviews or on stage, and in his songwriting. So if you fell in love with Walk on the Wild Side or Sweet Jane or any of his early hits, you very quickly came up against very different types of music. He followed Transformer, his transformative record in his career, the one that had Walk on the Wild Side, with an album called Berlin. I had many friends who hated Berlin, could not believe it was the same guy who had done the Transformer record. Then, of course, there was perhaps the most notorious album in rock history, the two record set known as Metal Machine Music. Mm. Two LPs of squalling feedback.
And no lyrics.
No lyrics.
No drum beat.
No drums. Just this kind of abstract web of shifting electronic tones. And, you know, to this day, there are people who claim that it was a joke or he was simply doing it to fulfill a record contract. And he always stood by it. But he never made it easy for you. You know, in a career that all careers have highs and lows, he had some very high highs and some very deep, dark lows.
Now you're friends with Lou Reed's wife, Laurie Anderson. You've emceed many of her shows and you've interviewed Reed several times. And you mentioned, you know, he has this reputation for being quite a personality. How did you see Lou Reed, Lou Reed the man?
Well, he was a complicated guy and was, I think, keenly aware of his reputation as a kind of a prickly sort. And that wasn't his problem. That was yours. He actually had a very bone-dry sense of humor. It could be withering at times. I was very glad not to be his guitar tech on the day that he was setting up to perform for us downstairs in WNYC's green space. On the other hand, he was a great companion if you were just, like, sitting around talking music. And he maintained that enthusiasm. We did an event at the World Financial Center once where one of the performers was Colin Stetson, who some of our listeners will know, maybe not by name, but he plays sax for the Arcade Fire. So he was doing a solo thing where he was producing two, three lines of music at once. And Lou Reed comes up to me and says, "Who is that? How does he do that?" And I was able to effect an introduction afterwards. And it was, I mean, that kind of enthusiasm after 45 years in the industry, you don't see that all the time.
Right. Lou Reed became famous, in the 60s with the Velvet Underground, but he also continued to compose and perform just until recently with people as diverse as experimental sax player John Zorn. What do you make of his most recent years as an artist?
I think he just felt like he had earned the ability to do whatever he wanted to do. He wanted to play with friends, a la John Zorn. Mm. He wanted to play with enemies, a la Metallica. People who perceived the two of them as coming from opposite sides of the spectrum. And that was, you know, that was a record that people seemed to feel almost personally violated by. It's like, that record got terrible reviews. I didn't like it, but you know what? He earned it. It was his opportunity to work with Metallica. He wanted to do it. Let him do it.
And just very briefly to wrap up, what do you think is his biggest legacy that he leaves to music and to downtown New York?
I'm going to go with something that I actually wrote many, many years ago to the effect that Lou Reed and Bob Dylan sort of gave people license to be singers who did not have perfect voices. It's about the storytelling. It's about the songwriting. And I think that, you know, is why you have two generations, three generations of punks and indie rockers who owe a great debt to Lou Reed.
John Schaefer is host of WNYC Soundcheck and New Sounds. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Sotiris.
And John will have more about Lou Reed's life and legacy on tonight's Soundcheck. That's tonight at 9 here on WNYC.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home.